It's 6:20. This is KERA News. I'm Justin Martin. A busy day at the Texas Capitol today. The state Senate voted to formally send Senate Bill 6, a.k.a. the bathroom bill, to the House. The final Senate vote was once again a 21-10 vote. The bill would bar transgender people from using the restroom of their choice at publicly owned facilities. Speaker Joe Strauss, who controls the agenda in the House, has repeatedly said this isn't a top priority there. Today, Lieutenant Governor Dan Patrick ripped into Strauss, saying the speaker is out of touch with voters. All that was happening while a House committee debated another hot-button bill aimed at penalizing sanctuary city policies in Texas. Immigration advocates talked about the harm Senate Bill 4 would do to the state's immigrant community. Governor Greg Abbott named the issue one of his top priorities in this legislative session. The Senate gave it stamp of approval last month. A legislative marathon ended today. The 1,600-mile live-streamed road trip of two Texas members of Congress. With 30 minutes to spare before the vote, Republican Will Hurd of San Antonio and El Paso Democrat Beto O'Rourke pulled up to the Capitol and were greeted by folks at the front steps.
All right, guys, these are the doors of Congress behind us, House of Representatives. We're going to sign off now, but I want to thank everybody. So, Will, thanks. I enjoyed it.
Hey, brother, you know what? That's bipartisanship right there. God bless you, America.
Adios.
The duo made national headlines after deciding to rent a car and drive over 30 hours to Washington, D.C. That's after winter storms canceled their flights. A North Texas imam, Omar Suleiman, says he's talked with the FBI about several video death threats from the Islamic State. Here he is on WFAA-TV.
I can tell you with a completely straight face that I'm not intimidated at all. We can't afford to be afraid of any hate groups, whether they're here or abroad.
An ISIS video that has since been taken down uses footage of Suleiman talking about interfaith unity. An on-screen banner reads, "Kill the Imams of the Disbelief," in Arabic. The 29-year-old imam says he's not worried.
I'm more afraid of my wife walking into Walmart than I am of myself because of an ISIS video. I think that Americans of all sorts need to come together and resist this type of bigotry, resist the message from ISIS.
Suleiman is the founder of Irving-based Yakin Institute. He's made headlines in recent months with public calls for understanding after the recent executive orders on immigration and travel, and last summer when he made a powerful plea for unity after the Dallas police shootings. At birth, children are legally classified as either boy or girl. Those categories, though, leave out those born intersex with both male and female anatomy. Today on Think, Chris Boyd talked with Hida Valoria, who was born intersex, about expanding our narrow view of gender.
I've never met anyone who couldn't handle the fact that, like, hair color, for example, is not just blonde or brunette, you know, and gets really angry and has to deny the existence of redheads. You know, I do think that we are an intelligent species and we are able to assess that there's variation, right? And we do that for a lot of other things, you know, besides gender. So I think that we really have been kind of force-fed. And you see it with babies' clothes, you know, with everything. We've been force-fed these notions about what humans should be like. And I think that part of that started, you know, for survivalistic reasons. But we are not hunters and gatherers anymore. And we were not, like, in fear of dying out as a species, right? In fact, it's the opposite. We have evolved a lot as a species, and yet we still have this really outdated concept of gender.
Hida Valoria is the author of Born Both, An Intersex Life. This episode of Think reairs tonight at 10, and you can listen to the podcast at think.kera.org. Returning to civilian life is no easy task for members of the military. A difficult transition can land a veteran in legal trouble. North Texas Judge John Roach has come up with a one-of-a-kind way to reach those vets. He's taking his court on the road. Judge Roach, thanks for coming in.
Thanks for having me. I really appreciate it.
First off, what are veterans courts for, and why would a vet end up in one as opposed to the normal court system?
A lot of these veterans are coming back from Afghanistan and Iraq with some issues. And instead of seeking doctor's help and all, they kind of self-medicate. And so we're seeing with drug problems, alcohol problems, in addition to what they've seen and witnessed in combat, they come back with some anxiety, some anger issues. And so what we realized is that the typical criminal justice system doesn't adequately have the resources to help them through these issues. They have to apply first, and then we have a veteran court team in each of the counties that I go to, and then we decide as a team whether or not we believe that they'll be successful and we can help them in veterans court.
And now, is there any difference between the judgments in a veterans court versus the standard system?
Well, no, not really in the judgments. At the conclusion of a veterans court, if the veteran successfully completes it, then their charge is dismissed and their record's expunged. And so that's unlike anything else in the criminal justice system that's reserved just for veterans courts.
Why create a traveling veterans court?
Well, I didn't want a random geographical line to determine whether or not that veteran would benefit from veterans court. And so I decided that I was going to take the veterans court on the road, if you will.
Now, how does this work? Do you pack up your gavel and rent out some space in town?
I do have gavel. We'll travel. That's exactly right. So every Friday, I go out on the road, and then I go to a different county on each Friday and preside in those counties.
How many people do you see a month, and what kind of cases does your court cover?
Both misdemeanor and felony cases, depending on the specific facts of a case. And I see about 50 to 60 veterans a month.
So you cover the Veterans Court, and also you preside over Collin County cases.
I do. I'm a Collin County District Judge, and so I have about 1,800 of my own cases. And so me and my staff have to work really hard between Monday and Thursday to get all of our regular work done, and so we can commit Fridays to these veterans.
I'm guessing that PTSD comes up in a few cases.
It does.
What are your thoughts on PTSD? How big of a problem is this for returning veterans?
It's a real problem. And I'll tell you what, I didn't fully understand it until I got involved in veterans court. And it can start from very mild to very severe cases on it. And so until we address that, that veteran's going to continue to have problems.
If you've identified a veteran's coming to your court and you've identified that he has PTSD, mm-hmm. how would you deal with that differently than, say, another case?
Well, I'll tell you, the whole thing that's different about the veterans court is we have a veterans court team that I meet with before court. That's unlike anything I ever do, right? When I go into court, it's just me, and I listen to the evidence and I make decisions. Veterans courts are different. We have a team of people consisting of a representative from the VA, a probation officer, a member of the sheriff's office, a defense attorney, the DA's office, and we all work together as a team. And so we determine what this veteran needs. And so to answer your specific question with regard to PTSD, if we had that, then I would ask the representative of the VA what benefits are available to that veteran at the Veterans Administration. But I do want to stress to you that this is not a VA program. The VA certainly helps, and they're an integral part of what we can do and the services that we can offer. But we also reach out to the Cohen Clinic in Addison and other places to find exactly what this veteran needs to treat their particular issues.
So if the people in your court had to go to a standard court, mm-hmm. what do you think the outcome would be?
Not as good. There's no way. They do not have these resources. They don't have the resources to treat PTSD or traumatic brain injury or extreme anxiety, depression. All those mental health issues, if you will, are not treated very well in our current criminal justice system, and those veterans would not have the outcomes that they're seeing now in veterans court.
I'm sure this court is attracting a lot of positive attention. Have you heard from other districts or officials interested in the system?
I have. I'm now talking to people at the Texas Veterans Commission. I'm invited to a state conference on veterans court to explain exactly how the regional court goes. I've been contacted by judges from outside of the state, all over the country, frankly, about how to do it and try to get my advice on how to implement it, because the entire goal of all of these people is to reach to as many veterans as we can.
Judge John Roach, thanks for being here.
I appreciate you having me. Thank you.
Should be partly cloudy skies later this evening, low around 52. Tomorrow, mostly cloudy with the high near 72. And tomorrow night, mostly cloudy, low around 62. It's currently 65 degrees in Dallas, 67 in Fort Worth, 63 in Tyler, and 66 in Wichita Falls. It's 6:30. This is KERA News.